Well, hey there, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Cambridge Inside Out. My name is Robert Winters, and it's April 16th, the day after Tax Day, in the year of our Lord 2024. Missed the last one. It has been largely swamped by one too many things to take care of. But we're time to do some catching up. I hope I'm not the only one in the room that's that was busy actually doing his taxes right up until April 15th. I think though actually we do get an extra day or two of leeway because of Patriots Day in Massachusetts. But anyway, I didn't want to go past the 15th, so I'm done with that. So, but coupled with that, plus a lot of my other duties, owning a three-family house in Cambridge, like I have to disassemble a washing machine and put a new roof on the house, which we did recently. So, there's a lot of stuff going on around here. So just catching up with things. I thought I'd mention just a couple of things that were going on around town just this past weekend that was actually kind of fun and nice. Just worth mentioning. Some of the people that are, who I'm familiar with put together these things they call stuff swaps. And there was a really successful one. It was over at the community center over on Callender Street. Kind of, they used the whole gymnasium. It was big. It was very, very well attended. This is one of those events where people, provide housewares, clothing, all sorts of stuff. Sometimes it's sort of the usual people you expect to show up, bringing stuff and picking up stuff. But this one was particularly good. I guess it was on Saturday. In that there were just a lot of people, including a lot of low-income people from around the Riverside neighborhood and elsewhere, who came there. And people were there was a lot of people staffing it, and there was a lot of good stuff, and I think it was really very appreciated by everybody who participated in it. I think it was interesting that I saw a few vehicles with compost loaded up on the back of the vehicles when I got there, because I think the City of Cambridge Recycling Division was also hosting a free finished compost giveaway up by the library. So people were sort of it was one of those really classic Cambridge days, where it's people are sort of hitting they weren't block parties or anything so much, but stuff swaps, compost pickups, etc. Meanwhile, I was sitting there fretting over my taxes. So anyway, it was pretty good. Something else I thought I might mention was, I don't usually have time, or I didn't have time, but I've been trying to make more time lately. But I used to like to go to a lot of community meetings, neighborhood associations, things like that over the years, which is kind of where I think the first one I went to East Cambridge, where actually somebody literally looked, glared at me and said, "You're not from around here, are you?" And sometimes that happens. But anyway, on I think it was this past, couldn't say, maybe Wednesday, there was a the Cambridge Port Neighbors Association put together a kind of a novel thing. Rather than having the usual meeting where somebody's in the front pontificating or conducting a meeting, what they did is they just invited a lot of various entities to be there just to interact with people and take questions and do such things. So there were representatives from the city's new CARE, what they call CARE program, which is out of the Community Safety Department, which is a brand new department that was created for the purpose of providing non-uniform, non-police response. Right, it's still coordinated through the 911 system and works cooperatively with the police department. But anyway, they're still, they're just sort of finding their sea legs right now. So it was very nice to have, there were three or four representatives of them who were there. I got to speak with them at length, which was really delightful. But for me, the real highlight was I hadn't seen some of my good friends who were affiliated with the Central Square Business Improvement District, a Central Square BID. And just to kind of catch up to speed on some of this, is that Central Square BID was established 5 years ago Before COVID, as you know, it was dreamed about for 20 years and then miraculously came into existence with the blessing of the required percentage of property owners in Central Square to essentially tax themselves. So to support supplemental services like, you know, extra trash collection and cleanups and just a lot of things. And anybody who's been through Central Square in the last 5 years has seen the, you know, the orange vested Central Square ambassadors who've been incredibly helpful. And of course, you know, they got established in 2019 and then they weren't even around for a year when COVID kicked in. And then they really were that was the entity that really allowed Central Square to really navigate COVID very, very well. I mean, no flies on the city of Cambridge. City of Cambridge did a great job in coordinating services and actually even helping. I thought one of the most creative things of all was how, you know, city can't simply subsidize local businesses, but if those local businesses are restaurants and they can't have patrons because of COVID, as was the case early on, the city contracted with those restaurants to provide meals that the city could then make available to people who were in need. And indirectly, the city was able to keep a lot of those businesses going. You know, nice job, City of Cambridge, and city manager and everybody else in the city staff who helped pull that off. That was great. But the Central Square Business Improvement District was, they were the ones who were coordinating the construction of a lot of the outdoor dining. They even created a bicycle thoroughfare through there on both sides of the way and really helped everybody get through the whole crisis. Real crisis, not just people love to throw that word crisis around these days, but that was a real crisis at the time. Anyway, and they also created Starlight Square as an outdoor venue when you could only have outdoor venues. And that helped provide a lot of hope and continuity for Central Square during that period. But COVID is for the most part behind us now. The way it works with business improvement districts is that have to get re-upped every 5 years. You know, so I thought, well, okay, what have you done for me lately? I thought maybe a lot of the property owners were going to be saying, well, COVID's behind us and we can just lean on the city services and no problem, right? And I thought maybe the bid would just disappear. And in fact, word came out several weeks ago that, in fact, they got re-upped. So they'll be around for another 5 years. The reason why I happen to be mentioning it right now was that the Cambridgeport Neighbors Association, when they had this event down at 150 Erie Street in the senior housing bill in the common room there, I got to talk with Michael Monestime and another gentleman, Hussein, from the bid, and just get up to speed. I just don't see them as much anymore. Not up to their offices as much. I don't run into them on the street as much as I used to. Anyway, we kind of got caught up to speed and I was really quite impressed. They had these like brand new little brochures that they put together, a new year in the square, very nicely put together little bold out bit here. You know, giving a little bit of the history of the last 5 years and how we got through. But if I might summarize the current tone, and I hope I do this reasonably well, I would characterize as they're looking to be more creative, really, and saying, okay, so we managed to do Starlight Square, and that was a pretty important institution, even though it had in last year or so has become a bit on the shabby side. Well, that'll go away. So what happens in replacement, that's as yet unknown. But one thing that there are current plans to reinvent what was used to call the Central Square World's Fair. And I don't know when and how that's going to happen, but basically, rather than being confined to kind of one-off events in Starlight Square, they want to do sort of, I guess you could also call it a one-off of where you basically close down Mass Ave and turn it into one big rockin' party. The city will also do the citywide dance party that always took place in front of City Hall. The bid, coupled with Matt Nelson from the city manager's office and others, they coordinated that because Mary Ellen's not doing it no more. And, you know, that was last year. And they'll be doing that again as well. So we should be seeing a Central Square World's Fair. We should be seeing the citywide, the city's dance party again. But I think what these folks are doing is they're really trying to be even more creative than that. And they put out I don't have a link to it here right now, but they put out a survey where they're trying to basically get maximum input from people. So it shouldn't be too hard to find that. It's been going around on various listservs and such to provide some input as to what you would like to see coming out of Central Square and the bid in the days to come. You know, so in other words, the business improvement district is not all about orange jacketed ambassadors assisting and cleaning up and whatever. I mean, there's also some coordination of events. I always like to point out that there's actually been some partnering up of vacant spaces with prospective tenants where the bid has helped to marry those interests. So there's a lot more to it than just basically cleaning up the trash and, you know, and the human waste and nips and hypodermic needles and all the really more problematic things that we often see in the square. So anyway, I thought that was kind of an important thing. Now, so one thing that was actually kind of the highlight of my week last week, I'd have to say, was so we all went out in one form or another to view the eclipse that was taking place up in the sky. And I started at Toscanini's with Gus and then wandered my way up through Central Square. And I had my little, you know, glasses, and anybody I know who was looking up and sort of like squinting or whatever, I said, stop here, use these. So I kind of helped, I don't know, scores of people to actually see the eclipse. But I ended up over at, in front of the main library on Broadway for the bulk of it. And it was great. I mean, it really was fun just to have all these people get together for this sort of amazing event. You know, we didn't get the totality as such, but we got 92.6% coverage, which was pretty good. But I have to say, for me, the highlight wasn't the eclipse. It was I ran into a former Harvard Extension School student of mine who happens to teach at the high school, who said, "Hey, I know you." And we chatted briefly, and he turned and he pointed out that where the bulk of his class was out there viewing the eclipse. And I said, "What class is this?" And that was the good part. All right. So he was in my multivariable calculus class at Harvard. And I learned for the first time, I didn't know about this, that Cambridge Rich and Latin High School actually has a multivariable calculus class, which, you know, I have a fair number of high school age students in my courses. And even Lexington doesn't offer a multivariable calculus course. They have to come to my course in order to get that. But CRLS has, I think there are 24 students in a multivariable calculus course. So, you know, I mean, I think there's, you know, been a fair amount of criticism, some of it very well founded, about the way mathematics is carried out in the Cambridge Public Schools. It was certainly this controversy over the cessation or partial cessation of eighth grade algebra, which was really like a real kick in the butt from Bob Moses and the Algebra Project, which started in Cambridge. But I think they're fixing that problem. At least they're on the road to fixing that problem. And I would not have expected to hear that, in fact, CRLS had actually put together an advanced college level mathematics class conducted at the high school. And I was really, really happy to hear it. You know, apparently they had 6 students last year. They got 24 students now. So it seems to be well situated. It is interesting when you go scouting around on the Cambridge Public Schools website under curriculum, whatever, there's not a single mention of this, which I thought, come on, folks, you know, toot your horn a little bit here. You did something good. And, you know, I mean, what are you afraid? People are going to say it was not equitable or some of that other nonsense that have basically been standing in the way of good mathematics education. So anyway, I thought that was wonderful. And I'll just briefly mention one other thing, which is kind of the comic event of, I guess, 2 weeks ago. So, you know, sometimes I put together April Fool's versions of Cambridge Civic Journal, and I just didn't have it in me to do it this year. I did one little blurb, you know, making fun of Counselors Wilson and Counselor Pickett, reminiscent of the great Wilson Pickett, you know, going to wait till the midnight hour, right? But it was just a little joke, you know. But something which really has been left a little bit of the internets a little abuzz was that one of our young counselors, namely Mr. Azim, apparently wanted to do an April Fool's joke by, you know, doing a kind of a tired old bit that even I have done when I did, you know, Somerville, I think, what did I write? Cambridge invades Somerville or Somerville invades Cambridge. So basically he borrows this theme about Cambridge to annex Boston. All right. Nice joke. I know it's a nice joke. I've done it myself, right? But unlike me, who spends all of $0 for a joke, Counselor Azim dips into his campaign finance funds and to the tune of $6,100 in order to pay a designer to design this ad for the MBTA, you know, like I suppose it was on buses or subways or both. And then $5,000 in order to actually put it out there to a group called Outfront Media for the MBTA ads. I thought to myself, boy, are we showing some serious hubris here? I mean, dropping $6,100, you know, to do this, you know, and I guess some one person who I respect says, well, they could write it off as a legitimate campaign expense. But I thought to myself, really? So what, 4 months after the municipal election, he basically has this bunch of pocket money that he can just sort of throw around for his amusement. And I thought, well, I don't know about Mr. Azim. He's either bored with the job or arrogant or both or more. I don't know. I thought it was funny. And believe me, I like a good joke, you know, but I thought, come on, get serious. I don't follow, I was speaking about multivariable calculus class at CRLS. I don't usually follow the Cambridge Public Schools that closely. I would like to. I'm a teacher for goodness sake, right? Maybe I should be doing that more, but I really haven't, you know. But there was some interesting rumblings going on here, and don't quite know what to make of it all. You know, sure, they have ongoing contracts, negotiations, and whatever, and you know, even there has some funny business going on, to be sure. But there was a Harvard Crimson article came out that basically announced that Cambridge Public Schools Superintendent Victoria Greer was asked to resign by the Cambridge School Committee. Now, I find it curious that the only place I've seen this story has been in the Harvard Crimson. And I thought to myself, well, why would that be, you know? And I don't know, but it may well be that it's not true. That's a possibility. Or it may well be that, I think this is maybe more likely, that it is true, but something that was spoken in executive session got leaked to some Harvard Crimson reporter who then put it out as a news item. And I have to say, having been following city council affairs for 30 years, right? Or almost 30 years. We really put more than 30 years, but putting it on the web for over 25 years. One of my hard, fast rules has always been that something that's, if I find out about something, it's told to me in confidence, or if I know it to be a matter that is subject to executive session, I would never put it out there. So I'm perplexed by this. So, so was the Harvard Crimson story accurate? Is it true? Maybe in a few months nobody will care because, everything will have resolved itself. But I just thought that was curious. Let's just leave it at that. I mean, there's still some other upheaval going on. My understanding is that there's a principal at the Graham and Park School who's there's some people love this person and other people hate this person. And then they've been going into the quasi press in order to basically have a little bit of a pissing match about this, which I think is kind of unfortunate. But so I don't know. I think it's time, maybe a few of us, I don't know if I can find the time to do it, but a few of us have to maybe spend a little more time paying attention to the Cambridge schools, and just to find out what's up, and treat it accordingly. Right. Okay. Here's another item. I hope I'm not sounding too random today, but I'm feeling a little random. So one of the things I happened to mention, sort of offhandedly, maybe the last time we did a show, was that I am now a duly elected member of the Cambridge Ward 6 Democratic City Committee, thanks to a write-in camp, very, very, very tiny little write-in campaign where I just sent out some email messages. Apparently, you only need 5 votes in a, if the slate candidates are fewer than the number of seats you're entitled to, then you can just get added on with as few as 5 votes. So I got more than that. I got plenty more than that, actually. So I became a duly elected member of the Ward 6 Democratic City Committee. Now, I didn't think too much about it. I just figured it's not a bad idea to have a little bit of input where it's appropriate. And I will admit that I have some concerns about at least locally, the direction that the Democratic Party may be going in. I am not a socialist, nor do I believe that socialists should be as involved with Democratic Party politics as they would like to. They should start their own party or go have a party somewhere. I thought I just want to be a participant. But, as is often the case with these small organizations, just getting people to serve as officers, like who wants to be chair of a neighborhood association? It's not like people are battling for it. It's usually you're begging somebody to take on the role. So Yulia O'Connell took on the role of chair of our ward committee, and then they were saying, okay, we need a vice chair. I think one fellow, Jonathan, sort of acknowledged as long as he didn't have to be there regularly. And then they needed a secretary and a treasurer. So now I am officially the secretary of the Ward 6 Democratic City Committee for what it's worth. One thing I wanted to mention, I don't really pay much attention to Democratic City Committee stuff. I think in a presidential election year, they probably do play an important role in terms of helping orchestrate campaigns, not only here, but I know they tend to ship a lot of people up to New Hampshire to try and influence the vote up there in presidential elections. At least they've done that in the last few elections that I know. But for the most part, I don't really understand what Democratic City Committee does, or the Republican City Committee for that matter either. But one notion, and I may have mentioned this in a previous program, that I've been having is not so much a party-based ward system, but I know that, though we haven't heard much lately from the charter review people, they submitted their report to the Cambridge City Council, and sooner or later they will have to take up the matter of potential modifications to the charter, so that they could send a petition to the state legislature, which would then come back to the voters, or really come back to the city council and then the voters. Some of what's proposed was okay, like reformatting of the whole document. And there are some things that came with it which I think are just deplorable. But one of the things that I really am sort of interested in is they have a proposal to create something that they're entitling citizen assemblies. Problem is, the way they've structured it in their proposal is just wrongheaded. Basically, it would be citizens' assembly that would be appointed by either the mayor or the city council. And I thought, well, this isn't a citizen assembly if basically, the previous elected people are the only ones who gets to decide who's on it or what they're supposed to talk about. That's just ridiculous. But prior to the planning charter, we did have ward councillors, and I'm not promoting the idea of going back to having ward councillors. I like the fact we have proportional representation, but I do understand that after 1940, the role of wards as sort of citizen organizing mechanisms vanished. It was somewhat recreated in the form of neighborhood associations, I could argue. But I think maybe we would benefit by actually having some kind of a recreation of wards as citizen assemblies, not under the control of the city council, not to be appointed by the mayor, but basically you could run for it and be a member of the ward committee. And it's one of the things I think in the early goings of the Charter Review Committee, I made reference to creating a farm system for people to sort of be future candidates for city council, school committee. And that's actually what I had in mind, was to create some kind of a ward structure where people could kind of get their feet wet, develop some sea legs so that they can actually consider taking on more substantial roles potentially as future city councilors and whatnot. And also to have a venue where people could actually discuss some things and then maybe bring proposals to the city council for action, because ward committees, I don't believe, should have any actual power, but they should have some influence. So anyway, that's my secret reason for wanting to be on a ward committee, was just to sort of, float that idea in a few circles. So this is one of those little circles I'm floating that idea right now. So I think I'm going to take, as we often do, the artificial little break here, for this half hour, and then I'll come back and we'll cut it in two pieces, and we'll continue in a couple of minutes. So anyway, so for a very brief moment, thank you for viewing Cambridge Inside Out.